You'll turn in your Bible, please, to Psalm 98. Fascinating psalm, and I hope you'll take this to heart and walk through this with me. And you'll find a very simple outline in your notes there. And you'll notice that the title is taken right from the text, and the outline is taken right from the text. But what a fascinating psalm. This is a psalm that we sometimes refer to as a coronation psalm. And there's a series of them beginning in Psalm 93. And in this series, they're just rejoicing not only on what God has done, but what he's going to do in the future. And you'll notice that your central idea of victory in Christ brings boundless joy. Now, that's so true, and there's a couple of thoughts I want you to engage in as you consider that. Think about the fact that one who does not know Christ as their personal Savior, and they don't have that advantage of knowing that there is victory in Christ. Because Christ is the one that gives us victory over sin and over Satan, right? And the only reason we have victory is because of the definition of the gospel message. Paul said the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 15. And so to enjoy victory, you engage in that relationship, that personal relationship with the Lord. And I think as we ponder and think about this, we see so many areas of our life that we can engage in today. Let me read this entire psalm. There's only 9 verses. You follow along as I read it, then we'll put the verses up on the screen as we work our way through them. But the psalmist said, "Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has performed wonders. His right hand and holy arm have won him victory. The Lord has made his victory known. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen our God's victory. Let the whole earth shout to the Lord. Be jubilant. Shout for joy and sing. Sing to the Lord with the lyre and the melodious song, with the trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout triumphantly in the presence of the Lord our King. Let the sea and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it, resound. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains shout together for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world righteously and the people fairly." Isn't that a great portion of Scripture? Just so much in there that reminds us that our victory certainly is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there's so much that we can enjoy in that personal walk and personal relationship with him. Now, look at those first 3 verses with me. Sing a new song, and you'll notice we have 4 points under that, and the very first one is taken from verses 1 and 2, emphasizing the Lord's song. Sing a new song to whom? To the Lord. Now, boy, music plays a lot in our society, does it not? It plays a lot in our emotional makeup. Have you ever awakened at night, or maybe even sometime during the middle of the day, a song comes to your mind and you're wondering, where did that come from? But then you remember that you heard that or some way you interacted with that song, and sometimes you get something on your brain. And, when you think about the Lord, though, and the Lord's song, sing a new song to the Lord, for he has performed great wonders. His right hand and holy arm have won him victory. The Lord has made his victory known. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. Now think about, the symbols of power that are represented there in what he's saying. And think about that challenge. The phrase, sing a new song, is just a reminder for us that there are always fresh reasons to worship God. Now think about that. There are always fresh reasons to worship God. Can you truly say right now in your heart that it is refreshing to pause and to ponder and to meditate upon worshiping God? That's why we came to church today, right? We didn't come to necessarily hear from a preacher. We came to hear from a preacher who would say, "Thus saith the Lord." We came to hear from God, right? And so he's reminding us here about the Lord's song. Look at the second part of that first verse, the Lord's strength. His right hand and holy arm have won him victory. Now he's reminding us there, those are biblical reminders of God's strength. When it refers to his right hand and his holy arm, it's referring to the strength and the power of God. Now, you know, with the Lord as your personal Savior, you know that victory only comes when you depend upon the power of God, right? Because sometimes we go through challenges in life. We go through maybe a catastrophic situation, maybe something we didn't see. And that's when we have to reach back and remind ourselves freshly again of the victory of God and the victory that we have because of him and his strength and his power. As Christians, we've cherished, down through the years, a collection of songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And we've handed these down for years, and we pass them on to future generations. And we see new songs come on the scene. I was listening recently. John MacArthur, who passed away recently, someone asked him about Christian music, and they brought up certain groups that provide Christian music, and maybe these people weren't as representative of the Lord or the Word as much as they should be. And he made this statement. He said, "My policy," and boy, if you know anything about John MacArthur, he was deep in the Word of God. I think I read where, as he passed away, that he had written something like 140 books. And he has the MacArthur Study Bible, and he has a commentary on every book of the Bible. But he said this. He said, "I ask myself this question when it comes to music. Is it true? Is it true to the Word of God?" He said, "If it's true, it's okay to sing it." And then he said this. He said, I know people that aren't strong Christians or maybe not Christian at all who have written true music. He said, "I know people who profess to be Christians who have written bad music." He said, so that's why I go back and, is it true to the Word of God? If it's not true to the Word of God, then it's false. And he said, and when you think about that, you think about that reminder. Now notice also in verse 2, he mentions the Lord's victory. The Lord has made his victory known. He has revealed his righteousness in sight of the nations. Now that word nations is just a reminder of the Gentiles, those who are who don't know God. And so he's saying to us there that God has made his victory known to everyone. He has revealed his righteousness. He has revealed to everyone the right path, the right way to go, the right way to heaven. And he goes on to say in the verse, in the sight of the nations, in the sight of all the nations, all the Gentiles, all those who know God and all those who don't know God, God's revealed himself. If you want to further study on that, look at Romans 1 sometimes. In Romans 1, Paul teaches us that nature itself and everything that we see in this world, this creation, reminds you of a creator. And he just says there is no excuse of not knowing there is a creator. There is one greater than us before this. And then you'll notice that In verse 3, he talks about the Lord's mercy. He says, he has remembered his love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen... I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong verse. No, I'm not. All the ends of the earth has seen our God's victory. Okay, the Lord's mercy. Notice the first part of that. He has remembered his love, his faithfulness to the house of Israel. He has remembered his love, all the ends of the earth. We've seen God's victory. And so he's reminding us of his loving kindness, his faithfulness, his mercy to us. And he reminds us that God has established his righteous kingdom on earth. And that's what we look forward to, the teaching that one day he will come back. And the Revelation reminds us of a new heaven and a new earth. And so he says, I want you to sing a new song. Do you know why the psalmist said that? Because he's reminding us of God's inexhaustible richness and gift to us. And there's literally no limit to the words we can use and the tunes we can create to express our gratitude to God. Boy, what great choruses Valerie were singing today, and what a reflection. As the Lord panteth, I mean, that's taken right out of the Psalms, right? And you know, and that's why we need to plant in our hearts the Word of God, and let's remind ourselves that the book of Psalms was what? That was the hymn book for the Jewish people. This was what they opened up and sang to God. And so he says, I want you to sing a new song. The psalmist reminds us of salvation was God's idea. And according to verse 1, he saw salvation through to its completion. It's a gift that he offers in verse 2 to every people and every nation. The salvation is offered to everyone, while at the same time also keeping each of his promises that he made to Israel, according to verse 3. Now look secondly, he says, shout for joy in verses 4 through 6. Look at verse 4. Let the whole earth shout to the Lord, be jubilant, shout for joy and sing. I'm not sure everything he means by that, are you? Let the whole earth shout to the Lord. Now, we don't want to just shout. I mean, we want it to be a little comprehensible, right? But that word shout has the idea of a great cheer, a greeting, as if you were welcoming a king. You see, in their society, in their culture, they were used of welcoming a king and making a big deal and singing praises and shouting. And so he's reminding us that our hearts ought to be filled with joy and with singing praises unto God and lifting up our hearts to him and praising him for his mercy, his loving kindness, his faithfulness to us. You see, salvation is the greatest of all God's gifts, is it not? He's reminded us of that in verses 1 and 2. And he reminds us that righteousness, faithfulness, and steadfast love defines who God is. And it also marks everything he does. And he reminds us in verse 9 at the end of this of all of that. So why do you sing praises unto God? Think about this simple question. I sing your praise because you are what? Are you thinking with me? I sing your praises because you're... What comes to your mind there? Just shoot back at me real quick. What? Faithful. Faithfulness. Holy. What? Holy. Talk loud. I can't hear.
Holy.
Oh, holy.
Worthy.
Worthy. Isn't that an interesting thought? I sing your praise because you're faithful. You're holy. Why do you sing praises to God? Now, think about this idea. Your gift of salvation is precious to me because... God, your gift of salvation is precious to me because... As Josh said, as a teenager, he went to church to play basketball, but he found something greater, right? He found Jesus. And boy, what a wise youth director. And I know the church, and he and I have talked about this. I know the pastor of that church now, and I know the pastor that was there when he went to that church, Victory Baptist Church in Noakesville. But think about that thought. Your gift of salvation is precious to me because, and we can think of some of the same words, because you're faithful. You're victorious. And we see that whole emphasis for us. The whole world needs to know that you are God. And then you'll notice in verses 5 and 6 that they use the temple instruments. By the way, when they, in part of that verse 4 also, let the earth shout to the Lord, be jubilant, shout for joy and sing. Now he's just talking about all, he's not encouraging all of us just while we're singing to shout, right? Valerie would appreciate that we sort of try to stay on tune a little bit, but that word actually means an eruption of praise. He's saying that thought, shout for joy, that you might erupt in praise, and the eruption comes because you are so excited about what God has done for you that you can't contain yourself. Have you ever felt that way? Now, to me, music is very emotional. That's why I like to listen to the words. But boy, I can listen to the words. And the other night, I was just meditating, and again, and I forget how it came up, but I was listening, and I've mentioned this to you, C.C. Wyand, she was singing the song about the Lord coming back. What's the title of that? Come, Lord Jesus, is that it? Come, Jesus, come. And boy, I found myself just having to listen, and that was a precious moment for me, because as she was singing that, boy, I was praying the same thing. Come, Jesus, come. You ever feel that way? You ever feel an eruption of emotion, an eruption of praise, and you just can't? Now, when he mentions these instruments, he's mentioning temple instruments there. Those are instruments that they use as a part of their temple worship. They use these instruments to bring about the worship of God. And so we see here, again, him reminding us of all these precious truths. Now look at the verses 7 through 9, clap your hands. I love this portion of Scripture. Look at 7 and 8. Nature praising God. Don't you love the poetry? Don't you love the picturesque language? Let the sea and all that fills it, the world and all those who live in it, resound. Let the rivers clap their hands. Can you picture that? Anybody ever heard the rivers clap their hands? Well, sometimes if it's a rushing, it can create a noise, can it? Anybody been to Niagara Falls? See a couple of ladies back there. Water can be very noisy, can it? But it can also, that always fascinates me. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains shout for joy. Now, if nature itself is going to express joy in song, how much more should you and I? Think about that. If nature itself is going to express this nature praising God, what a great thought that is for us. Creation itself is invited to shout. Creation itself is invited to express joy over the glory of its creator. And how much more should we give him praise as a result of that also? Forgive me when I hold back in worship because sometimes we come to church. Do you ever come to church? And I encourage you to come to church even when you don't feel like it. Don't you always feel better when you come to church? I look forward to Sunday morning. Do you look forward to Sunday morning? I look forward to Sunday school. I look forward to church. Why? Because I'm going to see church family. We're going to fellowship together. We're going to worship together. We're going to encourage one another. And what a great reminder for us as we think of this great truth. The more enthusiastic we should be about our singing, our praising God, and be unapologetical as we sing His praise and remind ourselves of His praise throughout the earth. And boy, we need to be joyful in the Lord because of the victory we enjoy. That doesn't mean we don't go through challenging, sad times we might be dealing with grief and maybe dealing with different struggles. But He is reminding us there of these great truths that we need to be encouraged with. Rivers clap their hands. Different parts of nature are pictured as rejoicing in this universal scene of joy. Then look at verse 9 with me. Our future hope. Our future hope. Verse 9. Before the Lord. Now that's a follow-up from the last part of verse 8. Let the mountains shout together for joy. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains shout together for joy. Before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world righteously. And He will judge the peoples fairly. Now is the time to receive the Lord as King. For when He comes, He will judge the earth. What does Hebrews remind us? It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, what? The judgment. We're all going to die, folks. But then we're going to stand before Jesus and answer for how we lived our life as Christians. Faithful or unfaithful. Be rewarded for our service. But think about one who doesn't know Jesus Christ. They're going to be judged for their sin. And so He encourages everybody not to delay, but to give yourself to the Lord. Repent before He returns. And sometimes we sort of lose sight of that concept, that important thought, that relationship that we need with the Lord because of that. And then in verse 9, again, He's reminding us of our future hope. Before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. We believe there's a time when the Lord's coming back. John 14 reminds us of that, does it not? He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And I'm coming to receive you again into myself. He will judge the world righteously and the peoples fairly. Now, when the rapture takes place, the opportunity to receive Jesus will be over. It'll be too late to join Him. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank You again for the Word of God and for Your faithfulness. And I pray that You'll speak to us through this idea of singing a new song or singing a fresh song, but singing praises unto You. And I pray that You'll help us all to realize that in order to join You one day in heaven's home, we need to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And I pray that each of us will be faithful in that. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking but me, I wonder if there's someone here who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I know Jesus as my Savior, and I'm not sure, according to that verse 9, that I'm prepared for that time of judgment. Would you please pray for me? And I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I just want to pray for you. There's no one looking but me. Would you slip your hand up and say, please pray for me that I might find the Lord as my Savior? Anyone? Is there anyone who would say, Pastor, when I got saved, I was challenged by this fresh thought of a new relationship with the Lord, and I'm praying today that God will give me a heart of victory in Christ, that I might live a victorious and joyful life. And asking God to help me with that. I wonder if God has spoken to you this morning and you're confessing to the Lord your need to be victorious and you're rejoicing to Him. Would you slip your hand up? Yes. Yes. Pastor, pray for me that, like David prayed in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, a new spirit. Lord, help me to rejoice. Please restore the joy of my salvation. Anyone else, slip your hand up. Yes, thank you, thank you. Father, we thank you for the word now. We ask it in Jesus' name.